Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Let us all chant the glories of Vasudev, along with his plenary expansions, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Purport. According to Pancharatra, Narayan is the primeval cause of all expansions of Godhead. These are Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. Vasudev and Sankarshan are on the middle left and right. Pradyumna is on the right of Sankarshan, and Aniruddha is on the left of Vasudev. And thus, the four deities are situated. So we have here Aniruddha. So Vasudev and Sankarshan are on the middle left and right. Pradyumna is on the right of Sankarshan, so that means over here, and Aniruddha is over here. So we actually have Aniruddha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. Put, if you want to, picture in your mind. Okay. Aniruddha, Vasudev, Sankarshan, and Pradyumna. They are known as the four aides-de-camp of Lord Sri Krishna. This is a Vedic hymn or mantra beginning with Omkara Pranava, and thus the mantra is established by the transcendental chanting process, namely Om Namo Dhimahi, etc. The purport is that any transaction, either in the field of fruitive work or in empiric philosophy, which is not ultimately aimed at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. Narada Ji has therefore explained the nature of unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience in the development of intimacy between the Lord and the living entity by a gradual process of progressive devotional activities. Such a progressive march of transcendental devotion for the Lord culminates in the attainment of loving service of the Lord, which is called prema, in different transcendental variegatedness called rasas, tastes. Such devotional service is also executed in mixed forms, namely mixed with fruitive work or empiric philosophical speculations. Now the question which was raised by the great rishis headed by Shonaka regarding the confidential part of Sutta's achievement through the spiritual master is explained herein by the chanting of this hymn consisting of 33 letters. And this mantra is addressed to the four deities or the Lord with his plenary expansions. The central figure is Lord Sri Krishna, because the plenary portions are his aides-de-camp. The most confidential part of the instruction is that one should always chant and remember the glories of the Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, along with his different plenary portions, expanded as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, and Aniruddha. These expansions are the original deities for all other truths, namely either Vishnu Tattva or Shakti Tattvas. Hare Krishna. Narad is coming to the conclusion of his lecture. He's been lecturing Vyasadeva on a number of topics, but the central focus of his lecture, he's been getting on the case of Vyasadeva, although he recognizes Vyasadeva as the incarnation of the Lord, but still to prompt this great work of Srimad Bhagavatam, he is putting some pressure on Vyasadeva. Get to the point! You've been messing around with various other fields of this world. The Vedas come into this world to guide us. But because we are here, most of us, all of us, with the aim of enjoyment, separately from Krishna, the Vedas give us direction how to enjoy this world, but gradually bringing us towards the point of the devotional path. This is spoken of in this purport in different angles. Prabhupada uses the term gradual progression. He describes how devotional service can be mixed with fruitive activity and philosophical speculation. And the Vedas demonstrate this. They demonstrate, to a large extent, devotional service mixed with fruitive work, karma, or jnana. But Narad is pleading with Vyasa, he's exhorting him, please, now, you've done all this, you've done that work, but you are already feeling unsatisfied because you haven't sufficiently glorified Krishna. You haven't gotten to the point. What will be the use of all of your work if those who follow your Mahabharata, your Puranas, do not come to devotional service? Prabhupada says that if you do not do this, the purport is that any transaction, either in the field of fruitive work or in empiric philosophy, which is not ultimately aimed at transcendental realization of the Supreme Lord, is considered to be useless. So we're getting to the point. Chant the names of Krishna. We begin here chanting, glorifying the names of Vasudeva, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan. Now, these are described, these expansions of Krishna, are described in this verse with a curious, mostly English term, I think, aide-de-camp. I guess it's actually a French term, but it has been incorporated in the English lexicon. A little foreign to me. I was brought up in a different culture, less advanced. They chose to degrade themselves on the
other side of the pond. And it was a little foreign to me. But I understand it basically is a, more of a military term, I think. The generals would have their aide-de-camp that would assist them in different ways. So Krishna has his assistants who are him. This is where it gets a little interesting. Because when Krishna needs help, what does he do? He helps himself. He expands into some form to give him help. This is a continuous process that we see Krishna doing. He doesn't just do it. He creates himself in another form to do what he needs to get done. In this case, the what we find that this Chaturvyuha expansion has very specific activities in this world that we live in. I have to confess that I had to review all of this. It wasn't in my... So what I'm about to present here is by the grace of Srila Prabhupada's genius to tell us that, yes, you can use everything in Krishna's service. Even Google. Even this device here, which is doesn't work in this temple room. But anyway, so that maybe is something to work. But smartphones. I don't think he was thinking of smartphones. It was a purport just a few, maybe the last purport, I think, where Prabhupada talks like this. He says, the scientific discoveries of the material world can also be equally engaged in carrying out his order. So one of those is smartphones. And by the grace of these technologies, we have such wonderful tools like Vedabase.com and Vanipedia. I this is a little plug from ISKCON Online. My service is in various ways, but one of them is called ISKCON Online. And one of the things we're trying to do in ISKCON Online is to help raise our ISKCON resources on the net to the top of the line of in searching. So this is just a little aside, but though when you go to search for something on Krishna, some scriptural reference from Prabhupada, there you'll find at the top of your Google search a number of links. Most prominent is Prabhupada books. Now, I don't want to criticize. I was told not to be controversial, not to say anything wrong, but I just have to say that there's one site called Vedabase.com, which is BBT fully supported. And so I request you, when you look, please just type Vedabase.com and then whatever you're looking for. Because we're really trying to make Vedabase.com and the new incarnation, which is coming up soon, the go-to place for everything Prabhupada. So anyway, that's a little aside, little plug. And please support it too. They need donations to do it. So that's the second plug. It's not my project, by the way. It's another project. But anyway, by the grace of technology, I was able to learn a little bit more about Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudev, and Sankarshan. And some of it is stuck in my mind. But basically what was interesting was that we often think about this world and how it's ordered and organized in terms of the activities of the devas. We hear about various devas that in charge of different functions. But actually, behind the devas are Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan, and Vasudeva. Carrying out, providing the core elements, the core ingredients that are needed for this whole world to function. Beginning with consciousness. Vasudev. This is where I'm going to try to remember everything I learned today. Vasudev is the predominating, the supplier of consciousness. The consciousness that we experience, our consciousness, is by the grace of Krishna. We're endowed with consciousness. We're endowed with everything that we have only by the grace of Krishna. We have no independent anything. There's nothing in us. There's nothing that we are. There's no thing that we are that is not coming from Krishna. We are entirely, 100%, the energy of Krishna. And everything that we have, everything that we experience, every facet of our lives, every bit, our mind, I think, is it, now this is where I get a little confused. Is it Aniruddha, or you wrote about this, I know. So Aniruddha, I think, is for the mind. And I think Pradyumna is for intelligence, is it? Huh? You remember? Anyway. Mind. Anyhow, you know? Yeah. You wrote about it, I know. This is the problem with us. Especially some of us who are getting a little advanced in age. Little. Although, and we sit here, people like me, entering in our late 60s, and we think, Prabhupada. We think, Prabhupada. At such, you know, now I'm getting to be, you know, getting close to the age that he left Vrindavan and went to the West and he wrote all these books. And, oh, just amazing. Just incredible. And here I am just, you know. But still we are here by his grace. So I can't quite remember the specific functions, but let us just summarize that our minds, our intelligence, our consciousness are all by the grace of Krishna through these expansions. These expansions are described, they have names. Yesterday we had a wonderful discourse by His Holiness Bhakti Rasamrita Maharaj on, he used the chart. I don't know if you, those of you may have listened online couldn't see the chart. But there was a beautiful chart which was describing Krishna and how he expands in different ways. And the chart divided at one point. And one division was called the Vilasa division of Krishna's expansions. And then the other went into the avatars. Yuga avatar. We ended up with Yuga avatars, but the Leela avatars. This I remember. The Leela avatars, the Purusha avatars, the Guna avatars, the Shaktyavesha avatars, the Manvantara avatars, and the Yuga avatars. But on the other side we have Vilas. I was curious because I didn't learn it yesterday. What does this mean, Vilas? We hear it in various contexts, but what does it mean in this context? Generally, we know the term Vilas to mean pastimes. So that got me very curious. How are these Narayan category of the expansions of Krishna considered to be the Vilas category? You might think that the Leela avatars would be more, you know,
in that description. And then we have the curious thing that these are divided into two divisions, prabhava and vaibhava. So this got me very, very curious, and I started trying to discover, what does this mean? And again, I turned to my handy Vedabase.com, which not only has all of Prabhupada's books, but has an index of synonyms. This is second plug, which is really handy. You can type in vilas, and then you see all the places that vilas is used in Prabhupada's books and how it's translated and where it is. Really a wonderful tool. So I got to get a little bit more of understanding. But then, what about this prabhava? And then I discovered, well, you type in prabhava and you get prabhava and you get prabhava. So that got me very curious. And ultimately I ended up with this. The Chaitanya Charitamrita. And here, in the Adi Lila, because this we were talking yesterday from, or Maharaj was describing these different expansions of Krishna based on Sanatan Shiksha. It was from the Madhya Lila, 520, I believe. And there's not a lot of, you know, these terms are used, that there's, Mahaprabhu describes, there are Prabhava and Vaibhava, and he describes who they are, and he gets, but he doesn't really get into why one is Prabhava and why one is Vaibhava. But here, in the second chapter of Adi Lila, it is also described. So I'll just read a little bit here. Krishna Swarup Hai Sadvida Vilash Prabhava Vai Bhava Rupe Dvivida Prakash. The personality of Godhead Sri Krishna enjoys himself in six primary expansions. His two manifestations are Prabhava and Vaibhava. In this purport, we get a little bit of a hint about this. It says, Prabhupada is explaining, the Lord primarily expands himself in two categories, namely Prabhava and Vaibhava. The Prabhava forms are fully potent, like Sri Krishna, and the Vaibhava forms are partially potent. The Prabhava forms are manifested in relation with potencies. But the Vaibhava forms are manifested in relation with excellences. So, these two words, Prabhava, before coming to this, I was doing the synonyms, and I found that Prabhava, and I'm speculating here, any Sanskrit scholars in the room? No? Too bad. Maybe they could have given me a little more hint of how did Prabhava become Prabhava, etc. But Prabhava, at least, is often translated being influence. The influence of something, something that has an influencing agency. And Vaibhava is often translated being opulence. So here Prabhupada gives that. The Prabhava forms are manifested in relation with potencies. So potencies, you can see that being, the potencies are those things which influence, that give, that energize. So coming back to the Chaturvyuha energize us. They give us that, those faculties, intelligence, consciousness, mind, senses, the whole material world, all these energies that give us that ability to serve Krishna or to serve Maya, illusion. And the Vaibhava are described here, again, Prabhupada says, are manifested in relation with excellences. So excellences, you can see the relationship between excellences and opulences. So I found this to be revealing, a little more understanding. But I can't claim that I'm fully now, okay, now I understand all of this. No. I'm just feeling like Jai, Jai Radha Kukulananda, Jai Sitaram Lakshmanananda. This whole exercise, in fact, made me feel something very special. It made me feel that there is a world. There's a world of knowledge. There's a world of information and that goes so far beyond what you find in well, although I found this in Google, maybe. But you know what we find through so-called modern science. The scientists of this world are very busy discovering information, trying to understand the world we live in. And day by day, they're finding amazing things, incredible things, very hard, difficult things to understand, like the fact, at least what they're seeing, whether it's a fact or not, I can't. they also will never truly claim anything that they discover to be, this is the fact. It's just so far it's the fact. When they next year, it may be not. But, for example, the world that we experience is, what, 75% or 80% or 90% something that they don't know what it is. They know about, you know, atoms and electric. They know all kinds of matter. But there's something else that they've tried all their formulas of how this world works, and nothing works unless they put in something that they don't know. There must be something there, and this is such a great thing, particularly gravity they're talking about. The gravity, they can't figure out. Gravity, it just doesn't work if you just add up all the matter that we've discovered and all the, it just doesn't come to work. There must be something else out there. So they're discovering things day by day. And it's all very wonderful. But it pales. It's nothing compared to the world that's being revealed to us through the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. And just as a person like me, at least, has a great difficulty if I try to understand quantum mechanics. I asked about Sanskritists. How about physicists? Any physicists in the room? All right. I'm in good company. I'm not a physicist. And I get bewildered. There's a devotee in our movement, Rasaraj Das. Who here knows our Rasaraj Das? A few of you may have met him. So Rasaraj is the head of the Bhaktivedanta Institute. Remember, no controversy. So, the Bhaktivedanta Institute in Mumbai and in Berkeley. And he is doing real scientific work. Really scientific work. Recognized scientific work. And sometimes we sit down and he tries to explain to me, because his field is quantum mechanics. And in relationship to the Bhagavatam, he has taken one verse particularly as his inspiration. It's in the third canto, where Kapila Muni's discussion of Sankhya philosophy. And there's one particular verse, and I can't remember what it is, where Srila Prabhupada concludes that here is substance for great scientific work. And he's taken this and he's developed and he's going forward with it. And it has something to do with semantic anyway, semantic content. And he's developing solutions to many problems in quantum mechanics. And I sit down, I try to understand what he's saying, and I get a little bit, and then I fail. So, and I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, and now I'm reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'm trying to understand it, and I'm similarly failing. I don't understand so many of these things. How does this work? How is it that the airs of my body are controlled by higher beings in the universe? How is it that a lotus flower springs up from the navel of God sleeping, and that the universe is half filled with his perspiration? I mean, these are incredible, difficult things to understand. And I come to the point where I simply think, what a wonderful world. What a wonderful world. Far beyond what I can understand. But wonderful. So wonderful. And how is it? And it's just a corner. It's just a little corner of Krishna's world. How wonderful is Krishna's world? And how wonderful that we have been offered the chance to leave this world, which may be wonderful, but is also full of suffering, to enter a world which is even more wonderful, even more, unlimitedly more wonderful, and with no suffering, no envy. Prabhupada once described that when you are free of envy, you are in the spiritual world. That is the gateway. Because people may think, "Oh, I'm not an envious person." But look carefully, look deeply at yourself, and see how often it is on account of deep-rooted poison in the heart. At one time, we took this poison. We drank of this poison, which was very attractive, seemed to offer something very special. It was labeled enjoyment. Enjoyment. Of course, there was another offer. It was labeled service. And somehow we made the mistake. Somehow, this is, again, a mystery. Just like so many things are a mystery. How we chose. But we made this choice. We have made it. We are making this choice. It is a choice that we are constantly making. Service, enjoyment. And now we have to... We've been doing this for so long that we are so conditioned to look at this world through the lens of how to enjoy, that Prabhupada gives us direction here gradually. Now you have to gradually progress. He says here, Narad has therefore explained the nature of unalloyed devotional service by his personal experience in the development of intimacy between the Lord and the living entity by a gradual process of progressive devotional activities. The whole Srimad Bhagavatam takes us on this road of gradual process of progressive devotional activity. It begins here. Dhimahi. The whole Bhagavatam begins Dhimahi. And Prabhupada here translates Dhimahi as chanting. Found that also to be interesting. Normally we translate Dhimahi as meditation. But Prabhupada tells us Dhimahi, chanting, because it is chanting by which we meditate. I am, third plug of the class, I am working on a website called chantnow.com, and it's just about to be finished for its, we did a initial test launch, and now we're getting ready for the final thing. And so we're trying to teach meditation, because meditation, I think most of you, if you haven't been, you know, sleeping the last 10 years, have noticed that meditation has become mainstream practically. Meditation is taught in corporate, you know, the Fortune 500 companies. Of course, what kind of meditation is another story. Generally, it is, as Vishwambar described, mindfulness, which is a very extremely simple form of meditation, very useful form of meditation, I might add. We could all benefit from a little mindfulness often. I think Prabhupada used a different term. He called attentive chanting. Being attentive. And it's not just in chanting. It's mindfulness means being mindful, being attentive, being aware, being here, present. So we've all noticed that meditation is becoming quite mainstream. But unfortunately, most people are meditating or attempting to meditate through impersonal processes. So Prabhupada, from the very beginning of our movement, he exhorted us, he said, chant. He equated meditation and chanting. They're the same thing for us. To chant and to meditate. Now, of course, sometimes we do not actually meditate while we're chanting. That's at least my experience. I found myself chanting, but not meditating. What does that mean? Inattentive chanting. But when we chant properly, then it is dhimahi. It is meditation. And it is the beginning of our gradual process of devotional activity. We begin with chanting, and we then begin to awaken cheto dharpana marjanam. We begin to experience our actual identity, and we begin to engage in various kinds of bhakti yoga. So we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And today we can thank Krishna not only for appearing in his names, Krishna, Rama, but also through his quadruple expansions of Vasudev, of Aniruddha, of Pradyumna, as Sankarshan, by whose grace we have the consciousness, we have the intelligence, we have the mind, we can, with which we can chant the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you.